Amen. What a blessing it is to be in the Lord's house this evening, and we should never take for granted God meeting with us, and what a great blessing this morning was, and already this evening through the singing, and we trust that the Lord just continues to have his hand on the service. I want to invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Jonah, and several weeks ago, the Lord began to lay upon my heart this book, and I knew that I'd have several opportunities to preach, and he directed me here kind of through a verse-by-verse study of the book of Jonah, and I trust that it's been a help and a blessing to you. I know it's been a help and a blessing to me, and I trust that you've benefited from it as well. And we have entitled this the idea of Jonah being the unyielded prophet. God had called him to go to Nineveh, and rather than yielding to God, he yielded to himself. He got on a boat headed towards Tarshish away from Nineveh, and of course the last several weeks we've studied the storms that God sent, and how God desires to bring a storm into our lives, not for our hurt, but for our healing and drawing us back to him. And so tonight we're going to move on to chapter 2. And so if you found your place there in the Bible, I invite you to stand this evening. We'll actually read the end of chapter 1, verse 17, down through chapter 2 and verse 10. And chapter 2 is Jonah's prayer to God, a prayer of repentance. I'm going to start in verse 17 of chapter 1. The Bible says there, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods can pass me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I had said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." And we see here an incredible prayer. And again, God would use Jonah to record the book of Jonah later on in his life, after he had once again become yielded to God. God would use him. It's an incredible story of redemption and God's grace in his life. But along the way, he would record these things so that we could learn. And I believe the lesson tonight is repentance and restoration in the Christian life. Repentance and restoration. Repentance is our part. Restoration is God's part. And let's pray, and then you can be seated. Lord, as we come before you tonight, we're so thankful, Lord, for you. We're thankful for this day and really the history of our church, Lord, and what a great day it's been. And we're so thankful Pastor was able to be in the pulpit this morning. What a great blessing it was to hear him preach. Lord, I pray that you would again meet with us tonight, Lord. We desire your presence as the message was preached this morning. And yet there are times, Lord, that we will stray from you. And Lord, in those times, Lord, I pray that we would repent and turn back to you, Lord, so that you can fully restore us. I pray that you'd be with me tonight. Help me, Lord. I need your help to be able to preach. Lord, I pray that I would sense your spirit, Lord, in my life, and that I would be able to give exactly what you'd have me to give tonight. Lord, we love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray, amen. You can be seated. As already mentioned, this passage records Jonah's prayer of repentance. And I want to just say this as we begin tonight. Repentance is something that all Christians need to become acquainted with as we live the Christian life. Because there are times when we will stray from God in our lives. And I also want to say this. Listen, praise the Lord. In those times that we stray from God, praise God that we do not lose our salvation. I want to say, listen, if it was up to you and I to maintain our salvation or even earn it, we could never do it. And yet we have an incredible God who, when we stray from him, he does not take that free gift of eternal life away from us. And that's, the Bible reveals in John in chapter 10 that he holds us in the palm of his hand. And the Bible says, no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. What a great blessing that we have this idea of eternal security. But when we do stray from God, listen, in the Christian life, we lose fellowship. We lose the peace of God in our lives. We lose joy, and we certainly lose direction. And by the way, I might just add that as we view Jonah there on that boat, he is in that place. He's strayed from God. He's lost the fellowship. Listen, we don't see joy and peace, and we don't see the direction of God in his life. And can I tell you, for the Christian, that's a terrible place to be. When we've strayed from God, when we've launched out, when we have not yielded to him, but we've yielded to ourselves. But I love the thought from the scripture. The Christian is never but a prayer of repentance away from God restoring them in the Christian life. What a great blessing for us to understand that I love the thought of 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. By the way, the book of 1 John is written to Christians. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, in the Christian life, as we go back to God and we realize, God, I've strayed from you, and we confess those things, we repent to them. Listen, in him we have the power to deal with those sins, to remove them with his help. And so we see there the idea of repentance. And Jonah would record this prayer of repentance for us later on. Under the Holy Spirit's direction, he would record these things. And I want to just pull a couple things from this chapter tonight. First of all, I want you to notice the place of repentance. When Jonah arrives at the place of repentance in his life. Look what the Bible says there in verse 1 of chapter 2. The Bible says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods can pass me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. He says there in verse 7, when my soul fainted within me. Here, when we get to chapter 2, Jonah has arrived at the place of repentance in his life, and he arrived at the place of repentance when he found himself in a place of desperation. He said, listen, living yielded to myself no longer has done anything for me. He realizes he's come to a place that when he's yielded to himself, it's nearly cost him everything. He says there in verse 2, I believe it is, he says, out of the belly of hell cried I. That word hell is the Hebrew word from where we get, it's the Hebrew word sheol, meaning the grave, the place of the dead. What Jonah finds himself as he's cast into the sea, he's found himself facing certain death. He's there on the way down, and he even uses descriptive language. He says, it cast me into the deep, thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Listen, he is on his way to certain death. In fact, Bible scholars, they're somewhat divided. Some believe that Jonah truly did die and that God gave a resurrection. Others would say that God kept him alive in the fish. The truth is, neither one of those are outside of God's power. And yet we see here, listen, it appears that Jonah is on death's doorstep. He's sinking down into the water and he's on his way to a certain grave. And that is when Jonah arrives at the place of repentance. And yet I can't help but think, does this not indicate a stubborn man? I was thinking as I was studying this passage, I would hope in my life that as soon as I stepped foot on that boat, and as soon as those storm clouds came rolling in, I would hope that in my life I would realize, God, I understand what you're trying to do and I'm ready to repent. And yet we find with Jonah, he's at the place of repentance when he's about ready to breathe his last breath. And I want to say tonight, in the Christian life, early repentance is always best. As soon as we realize that we have strayed from God, as soon as God pricks our heart and says, listen, what you're doing has gone against my commands. You're not living the life that you should be. In fact, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 3, be zealous therefore and repent. When God comes to bring us the thought to our mind that we've strayed from God, we ought to repent right away. And yet here we find Jonah wouldn't be the first to get right with God on his deathbed. He certainly wouldn't be the last. I was thinking about this when I was thinking about repentance several years ago. I went and made a hospital call at the Cleveland Clinic, and there was a man who was the father of one of the ladies that was a member of our church, and he was a diabetic, and to make things worse, he was a chain smoker. And I remember the reason that I went to the hospital, he had just had his foot removed to his ankle. And I went into the hospital and I began to speak to him and I said, listen, I said, you have got to give up smoking. It's one of the things that's destroying you. It's not helping out with the sickness. And I remember he said, yes, I know I need to do that. And he said, well, I want to pray. And he prayed to God that day, and I prayed with him. And then he said, would you help me out? And I said, I'll do anything I can to help you. He said, I want you to take all my cigarettes with you today. And I said, I'll do whatever I need you or you ever need you need me to do. And he began to point me throughout his room. He pointed me to the closet. He said, I've got a pack in there. And he said, I want you to go through this pack. And I am not kidding you tonight. 13 packs of cigarettes later, I'm being as honest as I can be with you. I'm preaching. I have to be honest, right? And I remember I'm thinking, I'm a Baptist preacher. Here I am. I'm visiting in the hospital. What am I going to do with all these cigarettes? And I found a little plastic bag there in that room. And I remember I began to stuff those in there, and it was billowing out. And I remember I walked out of that room that day, and I found the nearest trash can that I could find, and I disposed of those things. I thought he was ready to repent. Well, it turns out the very next day, my brother, who also served on our staff, went to visit him in the hospital. And the very first thing he did is ask my brother to go buy him more cigarettes. We see there, here's a man that had not come to a place of where he was truly repentant. And yet, as we study the scriptures here tonight, we find that Jonah has arrived at the place of repentance in the belly of the whale. And I want you to understand tonight, the place of repentance in our lives is when we come to the realization that our sin is keeping us from enjoying the full relationship that God would have us to enjoy as we live this life. As we realize, listen, the sin that I am committing, when I'm yielded to myself and I'm not yielded to Him, it's keeping me from enjoying the full benefits of the salvation and the relationship that I should have with Him. And listen, when we arrive at the place of repentance, and we fall on our knees before God and we say, God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry for yielding to myself. God is the one who restores us. I want you to turn to Psalm chapter 51. Psalm chapter 51. Another great passage of repentance here in the life of David after his sin with Bathsheba. David had come to a place of repentance, realizing that he had sinned against an almighty God. And he cried out to God, and I love what he gives us here in this passage. Look what he says as he repents. He realizes that restoration is God's part. Look what he says in verse 1. He says, have mercy upon me, O God. Blot out my transgressions, the end of verse 1. Verse 2, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sins. He later says in verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out my iniquities. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart. And then I love in verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. When we come to a point in our life when we realize, God, I've been yielded to myself, and we arrive at that place of repentance, listen, repentance is our part, and God does the rest. He restores us. I love that idea. He restores us to that full peace in our lives. Restores us to the place of joy, the place of fellowship, and the place of direction. Restoration is His part. Repentance is our part. I want you to turn over to Revelation chapter 3. I want you to see in the book of Revelation, as we would write of the seven churches that are found in Revelation, the final church is the church of Laodicea. One of the sins of the church of Laodicea is that they were no longer yielded to God, that they were living and doing ministry in their own strength and in their own power. He says there in verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He says this church arrived at this place where they said, God, we don't really need your presence. We're okay. We have some money and we have some things and we have some blessings. So, Lord, we really don't need your presence. And he says, listen, that's not the case at all. You really have nothing without me. But look what he says there in verse 19. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. We see that with Jonah. He was God's servant. He had a relationship with God, and God began to chasten him there. The storm is about God's chastening. This whale is God's chastening. I want to tell you, if you're a Christian tonight, if you're running from God, if you're straying from God, God will rebuke you and God will chasten you. He says, that's what I do. And he does that, and he brings that us to the place of repentance. But look at the end of verse 19. Your decision, be zealous therefore and repent. You see, God brings us to that place of repentance. But it's our decision whether we're truly going to yield ourselves back to God. Whether we're truly going to repent. And yet, what I want you to understand is when we do, he is there to restore to us the full benefits of salvation. Look at verse 20. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Listen, I understand there's an application here of salvation. But in the context of the scripture, he's talking about that idea of restoration. And he says, listen, when you strayed from God, realize I'm there and I'm convicting you. And when you repent from that, I can restore that fellowship back to you. What a great blessing for us to understand. And as Pastor mentioned this morning, why would we ever want to go a day without the full presence of God in our lives and the help that only He can give? Perhaps you're in a place of repentance tonight. Maybe you've strayed from God. Can I tell you the very best decision you can make is to repent of whatever sin has caused you to stray? God may have rebuked you. God may be chastening you right now. Listen, He does not make you repent, but He'll bring you to that place of repentance. It's your decision. So we see the place of repentance back in Jonah chapter 2. But secondly, I want you to see the place of God. The place of God in Jonah in chapter 2. Twice in this passage, Jonah references God's holy temple. He says there in verse 4, then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. In verse 7, he says, my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. What we understand as we study the Old Testament is this idea that the Old Testament, the picture of God's abiding presence, was seen in the tabernacle or the temple that was there in Jerusalem. It's where the people went to meet with God. And so what you have is Jonah, when he strays from God, he goes opposite of what God wants him to do. And really, the story of Jonah is a literal picture of running from God's presence. But I want you to see that when Jonah came to the place of repentance, he looked back to where he knew God would be. He looked back to where he knew he could find the presence of God in his life. And what a powerful truth for us to understand. Listen, when we stray from God, we know where we can find Him. We realize God has never moved. God has never changed. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And for the entirety of human history, listen, understand, God has never changed. He only requires one thing of Christians, that we remain yielded to Him as we live the Christian life. It's always interesting to run into someone who's been out of church and they're not living right, and they always say something like this, boy, I sure miss being in church. And I'm saying, listen, God has not moved. God is in the same place where He once worked in your life. And I love this thought of Jonah, that he looks back towards Jerusalem, back towards the holy temple of God, because his sin was in yielding to himself. And if he was truly repentant, he would have to come back to God and yield to God. And we see what a powerful picture of repentance and restoration. I love the story of the prodigal son. In fact, I want you to turn over to Luke in chapter 15, because it's a powerful picture of forgiveness, of repentance, and restoration. We see in Luke chapter 15 and verse 12, and of course you are probably familiar with the story of the prodigal son, but the Bible says in verse 12, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. What you have here is a picture of a young man who is yielded to himself. He's not yielded to what his father wants in his life. He says, give me that which belongs to me. Give me that which I have need of. And of course, the Bible reveals that he strays away from the Father. He goes into the far country. And yet, after some time, he arrives at a completely different place. The Bible says in verse 17, once he's there feeding among the pigs, he has nothing left. The Bible says in verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. He said, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Listen, now you have a man who is no longer yielded to himself, but he's yielded to his father. He comes back and he says, Father, listen, I don't even need to be restored as a son. Would you simply make me a servant? Something has changed. And yet, I want you to also notice something here. The Bible tells us in verse 13 that the son took his journey into a far country. He moved away from the father. And then in verse 18, when he came to himself, he said, I will arise and go to my father. He came back to the father. What I want you to understand, while the son had moved, the father never moved. The place of the father was still there at home. And when it was time for repentance and restoration, he realized, listen, if I truly repent, I will go back to the Father. And I love that thought because, listen, when he was ready to repent, he knew where the Father was. And the truth is tonight, listen, we know if we have strayed from God. You know, God will prick your heart as a Christian. God will come into you and he'll say, listen, how you're living is not the way I'd have you to live. You need to be yielded to me and not yielded to yourself. And listen, we know if it's repentance, we know what the Father requires of us. He requires of us to come back to him. And I love because the example here that we see in the Scriptures, the Bible says in verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Listen, when we arrive at the place of repentance in our lives, we realize where God is. And we look to the place of God. Can I tell you that one of the great lies of the devil tonight is that God will tell you you're too messed up to be restored. That you've done too much against God and God doesn't want you back. Can I tell you the reaction of the father here to the prodigal son? Who, by the way, was not in any condition to be embraced by his father. And yet the father came running to him. Why? Because there was a heart of repentance and a heart of restoration there on the father's part. What I love is that Jonah would teach us that God stands ready to restore us when we are ready to repent. In fact, God had worked out the circumstances in Jonah's life to bring him to that place of repentance so that God could restore him. And so we see here in this passage in Jonah chapter 2, not only do we see the place of repentance and we see the place of God, but finally I want you to see tonight, notice if you would, the place of mercy. The place of mercy. The Bible says there in verse 8, and Jonah makes a very interesting statement here. He says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. The statement that Jonah makes here, the idea of observing lying vanities, has to do with idol worship. Those that would observe idols, listen, they would forsake true mercy. In other words, what he's saying is, truly in false idols, there is no mercy. And what we would say tonight is that God is a God of mercy, and he's only where mercy is found. And so Jonah would say, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. And yet when you study the life of Jonah, what's Jonah's sin? His sin is that he's been yielded to the idol of self. And what I want you to understand tonight is while he is living for himself, he has made the choice to forsake God's mercy in his life. And what I want you to understand tonight is we live the Christian life. Listen, we can either live with God's hand of blessings on our life because we're yielded to him, or we can live forsaking the mercy of God because we're yielded to ourselves. That's the choice that we make, and we understand that while Jonah was living for himself, listen, the idea of the word mercy, it has to do with kindness and favor. While Jonah is on a boat headed in the wrong direction, he does not have God's mercy on his life. In our relationship with God, I want you to understand something tonight. We are benefactors of incredible mercy. If you're saved tonight, that word mercy means unmerited favor. Listen, there is nothing that you've done to receive that mercy. When we came to God in salvation, we did not come to God with a list of good works that we had done and say, God, you're really getting a bargain when you get me into your family. No, we come to Him absolutely deserving nothing. We receive the unmerited favor of God in our lives. In fact, I want you to turn over to Galatians chapter 4. I want you to see very quickly, and we're almost finished this evening. Galatians chapter 4 is an incredible passage of Scripture. It talks about the adoption that takes place when we are adopted into God's family. He says in verse 3, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. He said, listen, before we were saved, that's what was our testimony. We were in bondage under the elements of the world. We had nothing good in our lives. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. There's an incredible transaction that takes place at the point of salvation. I love that He uses the word adoption here, because we understand the process of adoption is an incredible picture. As there's a mom and a dad that God lays it upon their hearts to go and to redeem a child out of a less than desirable situation and bring them. And listen, we understand this. That child has done nothing on their own to earn what they're about to receive. But it's out of the goodness of the parents' hearts and out of the love. And it's an incredible picture when a mom and dad are to be able to take a child that is not biologically theirs and love that child like it's their own child. And He says, that's the picture of salvation, that we would receive the adoption of sons. Listen, when I've done nothing to deserve it, God gives to me incredible mercy in my life. Unmerited favor on my behalf. He goes on to say in verse 6, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. It's the picture of a little child who cries out to their father when they have a need, realizing that my father will meet that need for me. As our kids were growing up in our home when they were only very little, when they needed something, they would cry for it. They couldn't tell us what they needed. But you know, when that little baby begins to cry, a compassionate mom or a compassionate dad runs to that child's aid. That's the idea of crying, Abba, Father. That's the mercy that He gives to us as we live the Christian life. He says there in verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. He says, listen, I want you to understand, even through salvation, there is so much more than just your redemption of your soul. You are becoming an heir of God in that. That's incredible mercy tonight. And yet I want you to understand, he goes on to say there in verse 8, howbeit then when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But look at verse 9, but now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? I tell you, he says, listen, after you've known God's mercy and God's grace in your life, after you've experienced that unmerited favor of God, why as a Christian would you ever yield back to yourself again as you live this life? He says, listen, you were under the beggarly and the weak elements of the world before you were saved. You were in bondage before you were saved. Why on earth would you ever desire to go back into that place of yielding to yourself? And Jonah would remind us, listen, when you yield to yourself, when you yield to the idol of self, you forsake God's mercy in your life. That unmerited favor. Listen, you don't lose your salvation. But you lose so much of the fellowship that God desires to give you. Listen, when you go through the difficult times, you lose that a presence of God that He desires to bring you through that time. And listen, you lose the peace and the joy that God would have for you to live this life. I want to ask you this evening, are you forsaking God's mercy in your life? As I look back in my life, I wonder how many times I've lived below the blessings and the way that God would have me to live the Christian life, simply because I was yielded to the idol of self. I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 12 and we'll be finished. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. We studied this a little bit last Sunday morning. And the Bible says there in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that mercy that's so freely been given to us, that undeserved favor, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Listen, as we live the Christian life, he says, based upon the mercy that you have received from God, it is simply reasonable just to live a life yielded to him. And yet there are times as we live the Christian life that we will stray from God. God brings us to that place of repentance. Sometimes he uses a message. Sometimes he uses a difficulty or a trial, a circumstance that we go through. Listen, as we come to that place of repentance, may we decide and make the decision to repent. And as we look to the place of God, we know where to find God. And once we've arrived at the place of God, he places us back in the place of mercy, that unmerited favor. As Jonas would say there, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. And I don't know where you are tonight. Maybe you're there. Maybe God has brought you to a place of repentance. Maybe you need to just come to this altar tonight and say, God, help me to remove this from my life. Listen, can I tell you, sometimes as Christians, we struggle with sin in our lives. And God desires to give us the victory in that area, but it takes the first step of us repenting and turning away from that so that God can restore us, that we can once again be put back in the place of mercy. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. I don't know how God may have spoken to your heart tonight. But if you find yourself in the place of repentance, can I tell you the very best decision that you can make is to fall on your knees before an almighty God. Maybe this evening you're here and God is just speaking to your heart. Maybe someone needs to come and say, God, just reveal. Would you reveal to me if I'm in need of repentance? God, would you help me to choose to repent early as soon as you've showed me where I've done wrong? Lord, as we do come before you tonight, Lord, we realize how you desire for us to live the Christian life. Lord, you desire for us to live the Christian life in victory. And yet, Lord, sometimes we will stray from you. And I pray that, Lord, once you've brought us to that place of repentance, Lord, and we look to you, Lord, and as you restore us, you can once again put that unmerited favor, the mercies of you back in our lives. Lord, I pray that you'd help us now. In your name I pray, amen.